today's podcast, I am going to talk about what actually makes a organization social or social centric. I led a social selling program within a global commercial real estate organization before branching out on my own with Digital Leadership Associates to help organizations understand the change management process from the board all the way through down to the employees to actually understand what needs to happen to get the best out of social. So I think in my experience there are typically three trains of thought in the market today when we meet with organizations, be it at board level or sales director, marketing director, to discuss what it means to be social in the 21st century. And there's kind of bucket one where you get sort of the one brand which says, yeah, we don't need it. Our brand is big enough and speaks to itself. Our buyers don't use social anyway. And we're happy with what we're doing. We like the big messaging and rely on that alone to help us. There's then a second bucket where we get pushback going, we're already social, we're being social, we've engaged with this, we've got, you know, relevant automation technologies, employee advocacy program, and people are sharing stuff that we tell them to share. And marketing is leading all of this for us, so we don't need your help. And then there's the third bucket, and they typically go, we get it, we want to understand more about what we should be doing, can you help us? And typically this has come from either they have somebody within the organization which is driving the change, or actually their client base is now telling them that the way that they're doing things just isn't fit for purpose anymore in terms of how they buy. So for the first two examples that I cited, typically they'll probably, you know, rumble on for a number of years. They're not going to fall by the wayside, and they will eventually come round to the way of thinking that you need to engage with social, or at least understand how social and social networks is now a critical part of your sales and marketing strategy. And it will be a renegade of small pockets within the organization that starts to drive this change. For the smaller brands that take the approach of one and two, dare I say they'll probably start to lose market share over the years, and then kind of sit there one day and wonder what actually happened. Across both those types of organizations, they'll also see their digital natives across all ages probably start to leave and join organizations which are more socially aware, or those that understand the power of social and digital in the 21st century, rather than organizations where the marketing meetings or the sales meetings or even the board meetings is more akin to navel gazing and patting each other on the back and talking about how great things were in the past, or how great things were last month, or wasn't that a great deal, rather than looking at what that has taught them in terms of the data that they can now glean and how that can help them make better, more informed decisions moving forwards within either their sales or marketing strategy. So for me, there are a number of buckets which make an organization social or social centric, and they can't be looked at on their own. You have to look at each one, but then build that all together to make it happen as one kind of approach, rather than taking them in silos in their own manner. I think the first and foremost, and certainly from my own experiences of leading this, you absolutely need leadership, and this has to come from the top. It can't be from the middle, it can't be just from marketing or just from sales. It has to be across the business lines, but more importantly, if you can get the C-suite or management to engage with this, then that is a huge, huge step forwards. And if you refer to, you know, the latest Microsoft report around creating a culture for digital transformation, they cite research from Accenture which actually proves digital transformation within organization is far more successful within those organizations where you have top to bottom engagement, rather than one at the top or one at the bottom. So this does need to cut across the entire organization, and it does need to come from the top, otherwise you're never really going to affect change. You'll need to educate them around government, stakeholder management, realistic return on investment, and the time frames within which that needs to happen. And more importantly, how social will support the overall business and not just necessarily sales and marketing, because you can look at social and social selling from two lenses. It can be the outward sales and marketing to drive better inbound and better sales conversations, but actually you can also look at social as a far more effective way to drive better internal collaboration within the organization. So moving your teams from email onto social collaboration platforms to help drive that better internal conversation, uncovering the knowledge that you didn't know existed within that side of things. Employees, this won't happen without your staff, and you need to win hearts and minds. This is not a technology play, and we're talking to more and more organizations where it's been a technology play, and the technology works, but then it hasn't been thought around, well, do we need to change our current processes, and more importantly for the people, why are we doing this? So Sales Navigator is a classic example of this, an amazing lead generation and business development tool. The sales teams are in a structure to use Sales Navigator without any real thought process as to how they are going to actually get the best out of it. And you'll probably be able to split this into three groups. So whenever we do an introduction into social and social selling and why it's so critical, if you can imagine a bell curve in your mind, you'll have kind of the front 20% where they totally get it and they want to engage. You'll have the sort of 60% within the middle that think they understand it, want to try and want to learn, but probably half of those won't actually ever make the grade or be able to have the wherewithal or actually the desire to build it into their day-to-day. And then you'll have 20% that just categorically refuse to engage, not for them. And there's no point trying to push that community into doing this, because one or two things will happen. They'll either have a loud enough voice that they'll actually disrupt those that want to engage, or eventually they'll come around to understanding why it is so important through the examples and the case studies and the success stories that you can start to share. However, experience tells me that if you're looking to drive this and drive social throughout the organization, you need sales, you need marketing, you need sales enablement, you need learning and development and HR to all be part of this. But the other critical thing, and I wish I'd known this before I sort of went all in on our social selling program I led at Jones Lang LaSalle, is that you need to give yourself room for not only success, but failure, because things won't necessarily go right first time around. And that's not necessarily a problem as long as you learn from that. But also going back to the management piece, that if you educate management in terms of the time frames this is going to take, and that there's going to be some learning curves, there's going to be some failure, but learn from that, iterate, and then try again. But this isn't a magic wand where you engage in social and social selling or some kind of social selling training program, and then tomorrow suddenly your lead generation is going through the roof. This is very much a change management process, and it's why we at Digital Leadership Associates very much focus on people, process, and technology. You've already got the technology in place. You've probably got more than enough technology in place. It's bring the people along as to why they need to engage with this, the context of why. Then look at your processes around, will our processes support the why we need to do this? And again, if it doesn't, or your processes need to change, what we're not saying is the way that you've been doing things for the last 10, 15 years is wrong. There's just a better, more effective way of doing it. You could almost liken this to Lean Six Sigma. Toyota in the 80s was famous for Lean, how they looked at their car manufacturing process. If they could do the same thing in 7 steps rather than 10 steps, it's more effective, more efficient, more profitable, and you get the car created quicker. So again, in terms of social selling and engaging social, why would you not want to look at your sales and marketing process, which can create a better customer buying journey, be it digital, online or offline, doesn't matter, which can get you to close your deals faster, more effectively, your cost of sale goes down, your profitability goes up. The next tranche is clients. And it's amazing how many organizations that I have worked at or speak with now who claim to be client-centric, yet you look at their marketing messaging, you look at the websites, you look at the way they present themselves online, look at the way they present themselves through social, they're anything but. it is all very self-congratulatory, it's all very me too. There's no real thought process around, okay, if I'm making a client first, how and why is my client buying from me? How can I make it easier for them to buy from me? And you need to build your client story into this. And in order to do that, you actually have to go and talk to your clients and understand from them, why did you buy from us? How did you buy from us? Why did we win that pitch? Why did we lose that pitch? What are the competition doing well? What could we learn from? What are you doing yourselves in terms of innovation, which we can help build on? But if you don't go and talk to your customers or talk to your clients about these types of things, and you know, client feedback, client listening program, whatever it might be, it can be driven internally, you can outsource it to a third party to do this, which is what I did at Bowman, Leighton, Paisner, you will be basing it on assumptions of what you think based on, but this is the way we've always done it, this is what I'm being told by the account management team or the lead partner on the team. Well, actually go and find the data, get the data points, actually talk to the client. What are we doing well? What are we doing? What could we do better? Use that then to start to infer your marketing content, to change your story and drive a better conversation. Once you start to understand that, you can then use that to help drive the employee conversation around, well, this is actually why we need to change because our clients are telling us. You can also use that wider data point to take that to management. We're not making this up. The research from Gartner, Accenture, IBM, Microsoft, Salesforce, doesn't matter, shows this. And actually, our client feedback is supporting it and telling us this. So we need to start thinking differently about how we engage with our clients and our prospects in a social and digital context. The next thing to look at and consider is, of course, content. And content is still absolutely king. You know, looking now at how Facebook is changing the way that it surfaces content to its users, based on the recent fake news and the fact that you can pay to manipulate. So, you know, content is still the most important and part of all of this, because you can have all the best people, you can have the best will, the processes, the technology in place to deliver this, but without content, you are not going to be able to create that online buying journey, that digital story, which will start to entice your prospects and your clients into to bring them into that sales funnel that you want to. You know, the original purpose of social networks before the world of ad revenue, before fake news, was to connect people and delight them with content. And why does content go viral so quickly? The algorithms see it getting lots of traction and they put it back into the networks again and again. And actually, it's because you get one or two, three people like this, then one or two, three people in their content like it, and one or two, three people in their network like it, and so on and so forth. So it starts to build out quickly. And you know, sometimes you refer to your clients and prospects as consumers because that's what they do, they consume content. And this then comes back to, if you go and talk to your clients, get client feedback, understand what content they want to consume, then create that content that they want to. Again, I remember at my JLL days talking to the head of property for a construction company, and he said to me, Alex, I haven't got time to read lengthy white papers or lengthy thought leadership piece. Typically, I'd like to have a podcast or a video or some short infographics that I can watch over 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes when I'm eating my cereal in the morning, or when I'm on my way back on the train, which I can read on mobile. So again, highlighting the point that in order to be a social-centric organization, you have to think about all these varying channels, but also the varying areas within which that your clients, what your sales team are hearing, what your marketing team are hearing, so that you can then start to build this and curate this content so that it's relevant for the industry within which you are selling into. And then the critical thing out of all of this is measure, measure, measure. The technology is out there through basic Google Analytics on your website, through your social listening tools such as Microsoft Social Engagement, which sits within Dynamics 365. If you're a Dynamics 365 customer, you're already paying for this, you already have this. And you know, get in touch and we can discuss how that can work further. But you know, there are loads of social listening tools out there, all looking at the content that you are creating and where it's landing, who's reading it, who's sharing it, who's retweeting it, or not. And it's scary for marketing because it could well be that their content isn't landing. And the way that you'll know it's not landing is you're not driving the inbound, you're not getting the engagement that you want. And then this needs to be looked at. It needs to come back into full circle. Is it because the organisation isn't sharing it in a contextual way? Is it because sales aren't helping marketing in terms of shaping that story based on what they're hearing in the market? Is it because you're not going out and talking to your clients and understanding, actually, this is the story that we should be talking about? So don't create content for content's sake. Create content that is going to be relevant and pertinent to your market, which will then drive that that digital buying journey. And the key thing, and I keep going on about this, go and talk to your customers, understand the how and the why. You have sold your product a million times before, or your service before. You should therefore understand the sales triggers or the gates that need to happen, the timeframes within which they need to happen in order to get a deal done or deal over the line. Learn from that, iterate, repurpose, and then make the process faster. Think back to Toyota and their Lean Six Sigma, moving the car manufacturing process from 10 to 7 steps. You then, of course, need to consider social channels and different social channels for different audience for different types of content delivery. You know, primary ones within the B2B space are evidently going to be LinkedIn and Twitter, Facebook now, YouTube, of course, if you're going to use video. Graduate recruitment, you know, do you consider things like Snapchat or Instagram? WeChat needs to be on your radar, especially if you're operating in the Asian markets. WhatsApp now recently announced that they're building a business version of WhatsApp. You know, I come out with the adage all the time in terms of fish where the fish are. Don't make assumptions. Fish where the fish are. So if your majority of your readership is on LinkedIn, push the content through there. If it's a blend of LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, push the content there. And the beauty is that all of these organizations, all of these platforms can actually give you the analytics to tell you where your audience is and how they're going to engage and so on and so forth. And then finally, and I've left this to last, I mean, it is ultimately technology, but technology is the last thing that you should consider, because the chances are you will have a website, you will have some kind of website analytics, you might have a marketing automation tool. Majority of your people will be on LinkedIn, some will use Twitter, and you'll have a CRM system. This actually is all the technology that you need. It just comes down to stitching it all together and building that into the process, which then drives that whole end-to-end journey within a social context. The challenge is there is now technology to solve technology, and so on and so forth. And when you get led by technology, I will cite again the Sales Navigator example, an amazing, amazing lead generation tool which I use every day. But you know, what did I learn from my time of rolling this out across the UK for Jones Lang LaSalle? I wish I'd probably spent the first 2 or 3 months bringing the business round to what it means to be social, then given the technology, rather than giving them the technology and have to backpedal around bringing that change management piece into place. You know, marketing automation tools are all relevant, just don't make it look automated. If you are using an employee advocacy tool such as Elevate, Sociable, lots out there, again, if you just give it to the organisation and don't tell them why, all that's going to happen is you'll get either people that won't share anything. If you gamify it, you'll get somebody that's sharing everything, but then it's not relevant to their market. And what it looks like outwardly to the audience is just corporate spamming, or as we refer to it as corporate vomit. Everybody is sharing everything at the same time with no context. And that is actually that's more harming than actually not doing anything in the anything at all in terms of using the social engagement or employee advocacy. So it comes back to the people bit and the process bit and the technology bit. Get your people and your process in place, and actually the technology will fall into in place to do that. And the chances are that probably, if you're listening to this, A, thank you, but your organization will be doing some of this, or bits of this, or maybe in everything that I've talked about, but they're doing it ad hoc, they're doing it in isolation, you're not doing it in a way that is looking at that entire end-to-end journey. So in summary, the things that you need to think about, or the key areas that you need to consider, but in their entirety together: leadership, so social strategy, governance, get the C-suite buy-in, stakeholder management, articulate ROI, how you're going to measure that, what needs to happen around that. Employees, so HR, sales enablement, marketing, sales, learning and development, you know, bring everybody along on this this journey. Clients, go and talk to them, understand, you know, what they're thinking, what they see, what their perception is of you in the market, of the content that you create, the how and the why are they buying from you, to then put that back into your content platform, put that back into marketing, to then create blogs, video, infographics, thought leadership, help you curate the right third-party content, create a common language which is based on what your audience wants and your customers want, not what you think they should be reading, and then measure. Use the analytics, use the technology available to help you understand how your content is working. Social channels, fish where the fish are. If they're on LinkedIn, LinkedIn. If they're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. If they're on all the social channels, then create content that's going to land across all the social channels. And then finally, technology. Technology will stitch all of this together. It'll augment this. It will enable this. It will replace some aspects of roles, but that will free up people to do more valuable thing within that. So social advocacy platform, marketing automation, CRM integration is absolutely critical in all of this. Social engagement tools, social media management, collaboration tools, and data. You know, they are all critical to be part of this, but they are there to support, not lead. So that's my take on what it means to be a social-centric business. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. If you've got any questions, please do connect with me on LinkedIn. Find me at Alexander Lowe at Digital Leadership Associates. Send me an email or follow me on Twitter at Alexander Lowe, at Alexander underscore Lowe. Otherwise, I will leave you to get on with the rest of your day, and thank you very much for your time.